You heard Dan Campbell's voice in the update talking about Jameson Williams. Huge story yesterday. We spent a lot of time on it. 735. John says it's almost a sure thing they will pick up his fifth-year option. I don't know the reasoning. I'll hear it with you guys in about a half hour.
Oh, okay.
Because that is the debate, is his long-term future here and how they play it. I'm curious why you think it's almost a sure thing. The subject of the Lions adding at the trade deadline. That's more pressing, right? Za'Darius Smith, asking price is a fourth, according to ESPN. Ticketexter says, that tells me no one's offering that much. They're trying to drive the price up. Maybe no one's even offered a fifth. All the more reason for Brad to get involved then. They are clearly not getting action on Za'Darius Smith. You should be engaging them and trying to pursue him because maybe it would only be a fifth as opposed to a fourth.
Well, it may be, you know, somebody else's fifth, but they for the Lions, they want their fourth because it could be the last pick of the fourth round.
The Lions used a fourth last year on Giovanni Manu, who doesn't suit up or dress on game days. They used a fourth round pick on Sione Vaki, and I'm not going to minimize special teams, especially after last week, but come on, Za'Darius Smith is a bigger addition for this football team. Even if it is a fourth, Brad's got to do something. And there is a nervous energy because last year they didn't add at the deadline either. The need is more glaring now. The team is better now. It feels to me like he knows he has to do something. What I don't want, John, is on Tuesday of next week, I guess it'd be Wednesday for us, to hear we like our guys, we're going to roll with what we've got. The market just, don't gaslight us. We know you know. You're smart. You know you need a pass rusher. Don't fall short and then spin zone us. Just get it done. You're really good at this. Go get it done.
Well, and here are some of the differences between where the Lions are now this year versus where they were last year. And some of it just should be a lesson learned. I don't think anybody expected that they were going to be in the NFC Championship game. We just wanted them to win the division and win a playoff game. All right, check those boxes. And they fulfilled those expectations. In fact, they exceeded those expectations. But what happened in that game against the San Francisco 49ers?
A number of things, but yes.
We're playing the what-if game because that's where we're left. We don't know what would have happened if they had added Montez Sweat opposite Aiden Hutchinson. If you get up 17 points, does one of those guys make a singular play that changes the course of that game?
Yeah, when I think back to the NFC title game, I focus on three plays, the Josh Reynolds drop, the Jahmyr Gibbs fumble, and the Vildor. But there were more than just those three plays. To your point, at any point in the second half, when Brock Purdy was slippery in the pocket and extended a third down and another third down and another third down, if someone gets him to the ground, you get the ball back and you win the game.
Right, and so is it a lesson learned that if we had made a trade last year, maybe we would have been in the Super Bowl. Maybe we would have been Super Bowl chance. Okay, and we don't know. But now the expectations are that you are going to be playing in the Super Bowl, that you're going to be playing against Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. And what do you have to do against those three guys? I'll be shocked if the AFC representative is not one of those three quarterbacks, and obviously the teams that they play for.
Yep.
So you're going to have to apply pressure. You're going to have to be able to make them uncomfortable. What was the Super Bowl that Patrick Mahomes lost? Why did they lose that Super Bowl?
Pressure.
Tampa Bay had them running all over the place. Now, I don't expect this defense to be the Tampa defense of that year.
But a little element of that would go a long way.
Has to go a long way.
Ding, ding, ding for both of you, because the Purdy's elusiveness is what flipped that game. The consistency from play to play where he would get away and buy time.
And by the way, who are the NFC quarterbacks you could face deeper in the playoffs? It could be Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels. It could be Brock Purdy again if they resurrect their season down the stretch. You just can't go into the playoffs with practice squad edge guys and look your fan base in the eye and say, we're doing everything we can to win a Super Bowl. It would be a disservice to the other guys in that locker room. It'd be a disservice to this coaching staff who are trying to make it work. To Aaron Glenn's credit, they've tried to scheme up pressure. Give them the best chance to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, I would hope Campbell has gone to Holmes and said, we have to add somebody. Not let's look and see. And, you know, I hope that's the message, because that carries a ton of weight. If he's saying, well, if we can just, yeah, let's do this, but not let's overspend and we can have next man step up, that's huge. No, I think fans need to realize, like, if we get to Tuesday at 4 o'clock and they haven't made a deal, I think it probably cost them the Super Bowl. I do. I really do. Well, because I think John's right. You're going to play one of those three guys in the Super Bowl. We're going to see it against Buffalo in December here.
Yeah.
And, you know, all three of those teams can run the football, too, by the way.
Yeah, they're good balanced offense.
Especially Baltimore and Buffalo. James Cook is having a phenomenal season. I don't know if people are realizing this.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made Josh Allen a lot better because you have to account for it. So I really don't think it's overstating it. There will be people that call in here. We've already had them on text a couple of them throughout the last couple of weeks since Hutch got hurt, that will say, you guys can't tell Brad Holmes what to do. To me, this would be the opposite of Eduardo Rodriguez with Scott Harris. It's just indefensible to not add depth, at least.
Yeah, listen, I know there's a camp of people that says, how dare you? He's Brad Holmes. Shut up. Stop questioning it. And for the most part, we all would agree he's great at his job, but we're allowed to have our own eyes and ears and use our brains. And we look at this football team, and I think even they have to look at this football team and see what we see. They need help on the edge. If you need a little nudging in the urgency category, there is a report from Albert Breer as to Ben Johnson's interest level in a future head coaching position. Let's play that for people. It's from ESPN 1000 in Chicago that there's a belief he wanted the Bears job. Well, if things go south in Chicago and he leaves this offseason for a job in the division, but any job, doesn't that put a little more pressure to win now while you have Ben Johnson?
Sure. Plus, you don't want him in division. And
well, you can't control it after the year. You know, he can leave for any job.
No, I know, but I'm curious because the coaching rumors do get around. And we heard about Washington the year before. It was Carolina, and he removed his name from those jobs, and we're kind of always questioning. We didn't hear this at the time, but you got to believe front offices do. If you're Chicago and you hear Ben Johnson is interested in your job and you choose Matt Eberflus over Ben Johnson, how dumb are you?
Well,
are you kidding me? They chose to go another year with the inept, knowing that they had the number one overall pick, knowing that they were going to pick and choose a quarterback that they wanted to be their franchise quarterback. Why not bring in the guy that, quote unquote, right now is the quarterback whisperer? He has rejuvenated Jared Goff's career. He has resurrected it. And now all of a sudden you have the pick of the number one in the draft and you choose Matt Eberflus.
They got lulled into some late season wins. They had the number one pick, chance to start over.
So it doesn't mean you can't upgrade.
Well, and I think that especially.
So if I'm Ben Johnson, I look at that and go, well, the decision making for this franchise seems to be a little off.
I would agree with you there. But I think they're looking at it now going, our coaching is leaving a lot to be desired, especially coming on the heels of last week's game where they have a QB.
Discipline.
A QB spy on the Hail Mary, just kind of sitting in no man's land. Not to mention they had a timeout in their back pocket while their corner is not even engaged in the play and jawing with fans. Like, hey, coach, call a TO. Get a better play out. And Eberflus also said, not to do Chicago radio, but he minimized the play before the Hail Mary, saying it was essentially irrelevant when those yards helped propel them into a makeable Hail Mary. They're questioning their coach. They bring an insider on. The insider says, hey, Ben Johnson kind of wanted the Chicago job. If that job opens this year, and that's true, Ben Johnson's gone, and you have wasted, again, back to that word, a golden opportunity with this great football team.
Yes, but I'm also going to hit the brakes on that a little bit. I don't want him to waste Ben Johnson because Ben Johnson has a great relationship with Jared Goff. This offense is operating at an extremely high level. And I think Ben Johnson is maybe that he is the actual biggest component to it. But let's remember, you also have Dan Campbell. And in his first year, when he relieved Anthony Lynn of his play calling duties because he didn't like how it wasn't going the way he wanted it to. It wasn't, Anthony Lynn wasn't following his direction. So he takes over play calling, having never done it officially before. Offense looked better. And then he promotes Ben Johnson, who he knows will do his bidding. And I say it sounds
controlling.
Very controlling, but
it's collaborative.
He operates the offense as Dan Campbell sees fit. Listen, so whoever comes in next is going to have to operate the offense as Dan Campbell sees fit.
It's Dan Campbell's offense. I will give you that. But Ben Johnson has input. Ben Johnson's creative. Ben Johnson's executing. He's putting in a lot of the game plan. And could they replace him? Yes. Do I want to go
with
the...
So the sky is not falling is my point.
No, but you would think your best chance is with the known Ben Johnson as opposed to the unknown, a different OC down the line here, especially if he is interested in that Bears job. Again, it's a rumor. We know that rumors only go so far. He took himself out of some head coaching jobs a year ago. We've got a lot to do this morning. 7:35. A question about J-Mo and that fifth-year option. They don't have to decide today, but if they did, would you want them to pick it up? John says it's almost a sure thing that they will. We'll get to that at 7:35. We've got the two Grand Slam, Heather's News. It's all coming up next. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your individual or your family's success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you, as they did me, and work with you to build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Before we get to the two Grand Slam, Heather's got the news.
So it always seems like Troy Police are busting drunk drivers. Any drunk driver story I have, it's from Troy Police. Well, they recently arrested several super drunk drivers. One was a Sterling Heights man who was spotted stumbling to his car in an IHOP parking lot. So police tracked him down, saw him swerving, crossing the middle lane, speeding, right? Well, when they talked to him, he failed multiple sobriety tests. You guys, he blew a 0.206% right there.
Super
but
drunk.
Then, after he was taken to the Troy lockup, he blew a 0.284.
Wow.
Holy moly. They also found a bottle of open whiskey in the front seat of his car. Then there was another guy from East Point who was arrested after police were actually at Panera Bread, and they saw this guy get out of his car, walk into a wooded area, and then return. They confronted him, said, what you doing back there? I had to pee, he said. So he peed in the woods, came back. Well, that's when the police noticed his eyes were all glassy. You know, he was slurring his speech. He smelled of alcohol. Well, right there, he blew a 0.168, but then later, a 0.229.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
He said, I'm just coming in for some bread. Need something to soak up all this alcohol.
Should have just eaten all the bagels. Yeah, I needed that. Troy Police also believe that there may be an information leak that has led to an uptick in iPhone thefts in the city and across Metro Detroit. So last week, you might remember, there was this guy posing as an Amazon driver who was arrested after stealing iPhone packages off people's porches. Well, on Wednesday, police released details about three more cases, including one of these guys who was posing as a FedEx driver. Same thing, right? Had on the jacket, the hat that looked pretty official. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy was busted with six stolen iPhones, an iPad, and a Mac Pro laptop. Like I said, investigators believe that there is an information leak at either the freight company or the cell phone service provider, because all of these thieves have had direct information on the expected iPhone deliveries, right?
That answers my question, where I said, I can't believe there's that many being delivered that they could just sit outside in the neighborhood
and
pick them all off.
It wouldn't be worth their time. No.
I mean, they're covering
they
it like, so, yes. Yeah, like Brian Branch.
Mm-hmm. Pretty crazy. So at some point during the 80s, football overtook baseball as America's pastime, and football hasn't really looked back. Everyone watches football. But on Monday, Game 3 of the World Series drew a bigger audience than Monday Night Football. So the Dodgers-Yankees game averaged 13.6 million viewers, and the Giants-Steelers game had only 13.4 million, despite an ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2 multicast.
It's got to be Yankees-Dodgers clincher,
exactly.
Everything on the line. And by the way, What a choke job by the Yankees.
Oh,
up 5-0.
Gotta love to see it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Gerrit Cole can't cover first base. Center fielders can't catch. Shortstops are short arming. It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
So there's a movie streaming on Netflix. I actually already watched it. I recommend it. Woman of the Hour, directed and starring Anna Kendrick.
Okay.
It's very good. It's based on this real life dating game contestant who comes face to face with a serial killer back in 1978. So it's based on a true story, which I always like. Anyway, what's kind of cool about this is that Anna Kendrick didn't feel right about profiting from an actual murderer, right? Because they're starring this guy. So she donated her entire pay to victims of violent crimes. Which is pretty cool. So she said she didn't make any money off of this movie, even though she was the director and the main star. I like it. Very cool. Check it out. It's good. So our favorite thing about Halloween is not the costumes.
Really?
It's the candy.
It's the candy.
According to a new poll, eating candy is the number one thing we love about Halloween. Dressing up comes right after that, followed by trick-or-treating, the decorations, and the parties. Down at the bottom is carving pumpkins, which is actually one of my favorite things to do for Halloween. We did it last night. Different when you have little kids.
Yeah.
You don't have as much time to do we like to do like really intricate, like super cool carvings. You can't really do that because a 2-year-old only has a
got the triangle eyes, the nose, and the mean mouth.
I went for the circle eyes this time.
Okay.
Oh. I gave it eyebrows.
Oh, that's more detailed than I thought.
And Emily wanted a happy face. So it's not really the classic jack-o'-lantern smile. Yeah. It's just a big, like, happy
teeth or just one big smile?
No, just one big smile. Very cute. And then she wanted a cat on the other pumpkin. So
there you go.
That had to take some time.
A little bit more. We did that where you like make the little pattern kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take too long, but she wasn't really part of it. She just saw the aftermath.
But she appreciated it.
Yes. She knew what she wanted. A visionary. She wanted the cat. We gave it to her. Let's see. Right before the 2 Grand Slam, when it comes to overall health, it's pretty well known that, you know, you should avoid the alcohol, avoid the booze, right? It's kind of bad news. But if you are going to indulge and have a drink, a doctor says you should pick tequila. Apparently, it is the healthiest liquor available. Unlike liquors distilled from grains, tequila is made from agave plants and is naturally gluten-free. So it's got that going for it. The agave and tequila will not raise blood sugar levels as much as other booze does. So that's also a plus. And it can promote gut health, I guess. And they say you're not going to have as bad of a hangover as if you drink tequila.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Have that with Taco Bell and
there you
your gut's clear.
Good and good for you.
Yeah.
Balances out. All right. Heather with the news. Time to give away some money.
Is it the tequila or the Taco Bell?
Either one. The combo.
All right, let's go, guys. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $2,000 if all of the questions are answered correctly, $25 if not for each question answered correctly. I'm ready to give away some money. Let's do this.
All right.
Our contestant this morning, Randy in Brooklyn. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys.
Good morning,
hey,
Randy. How you doing?
Not too bad. Good morning. Happy Halloween.
Yeah. Are you full costumed out right now? Okay.
I am not. Nope, I'm dressed in my work gear.
Okay. And I was going to say, hopefully this 2 Grand Slam isn't scary. Hopefully you get all of the questions right. You know the rules, right, Randy?
Yes, I do.
All right, so your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Here we go. Who do the New York Jets host tonight?
Houston Texans.
Who is the head coach of the Houston Texans?
DeMarco Ryan.
Who played Ken in the 2023 Barbie movie?
Ryan Gosling.
Who won the NFL MVP in 2023?
Lamar Jackson.
This rapper had the 2012 hit Swimming Pools.
Oh, goodness. Pass.
The Tigers lost to this team in the 2012 World Series.
San Francisco Giants.
Bill Belichick won 2 Super Bowls as defensive coordinator with this team.
The New York Giants.
What is the capital of New York?
Albany.
Julius Randle was traded from the Knicks to this team.
To the Minnesota Timberwolves.
How many times have the Minnesota Vikings lost the Super Bowl?
four times.
This rapper had the 2012 hit Swimming Pools.
Damn, you had a great run
Drake?
There.
No. Oh, my goodness. It's the only one you didn't get.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wasn't taking note.
I mean, I do want to make sure, check with the committee. DeMarco Ryans is okay.
For D'Amico.
D'Amico. Yeah. Yes, we know who you're talking about.
That is D'Amico.
You're good. Yeah. We counted
it. That's okay. We counted it. So you got 9.
Wow.
Did you realize you were doing that well? Or I mean, you threw out some of those, I think, with a question attached to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been played high-level athletics, but I did feel like I was in the zone there for a minute.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did we tell him who had the hit that he missed?
No, we did not. It was not Drake.
Do you have a second guess? It won't matter, but just curious.
I'm terrible with rap in that era. Yeah. Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
Oh, that's painful. Oh, my goodness.
Randy.
Yes.
Randy.
Oh, Randy.
9 is $225. It's not 2,000, but it's 9 out of 10. It's a hell of a run.
So close. Great job, bud.
Randy, we'll put you on hold. We'll make sure you get your info passed along and get you paid. Two Grand Slam is brought to you by Genesis Credit Union.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Great performance. That's what we've been missing around here.
I was really hoping that there were just a couple of seconds left. We heard the buzzer. Even if he had been right, it would have been wrong. But so close.
I didn't realize he was doing so well. I wasn't tracking the answers that time.
So can you imagine had he got that and then D'Amico, DeMarco?
So that was going to be my question. If he had gotten that one, would we have counted DeMarco?
I think Heather, more than anybody, would know Wheel of Fortune where Pat Sajak. Sorry.
He would not.
When the person mispronounced. I think we have to give that. That's just too close.
I agree.
I bet the ticket texters don't.
What do you mean? The ticket texters always want us to give away more.
Well, then when we actually are nice people, then they reverse.
Oh, they wouldn't have given me that, Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. People get jealous. I don't.
What a performance. That was awesome.
Hell of a performance. And you know what? I like that we had a little more of that rhythm in there. We're Giants, New York, Minnesota, where you kind of you can get into a little bit of a groove. This one felt like if you had the right contestant.
Well,
we did have the right contestant.
I know.
I felt like Julius Randle was the hardest question.
Yeah.
I know it happened within the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks or so, but
in football
NBA,
season, you know,
it's one NBA thing is in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
Especially in a town where.
I mean, the Vikings Super Bowl one, I do think you have to have maybe a little. The older person, maybe?
Like I knew they hadn't won a Super Bowl, but off the top of my head, would I have said they missed 4 chances in the Super Bowl? I don't think on the spot I would have gotten it. So credit to Randy.
Yep.
Your next chance at $2,000 is next Tuesday at 7:25. Coming up next, the JMO question, the football question. We did a lot yesterday on the near arrest and the policing and all of it, but the question is about his future in Detroit. The 5th-year option is something they'll decide on in the offseason. Would you do it today? John says it's almost a sure thing they will. He'll explain next. It's 97.1.
Hey, fall into family fun this season with the YMCA of Metro Detroit. From youth basketball to gymnastics and swimming, the Y's fall programs are perfect for keeping kids active, building skills, and making friends. And for the adults, there's group exercise classes, less meals, and free child watch while you work out. And if you join by October 31st, you get 75% off your first month. Don't miss out. Visit ymcadetroit.org or your nearest Y to learn more and join for 75% off your first month. Fall into family fun today at the Y.
It's Halloween. It's a Thursday. Good morning. Last night, you had a World Series wrap up, a crazy comeback, and epic choke, however you want to describe it. The Pistons picked up their first win of the season.
Woohoo.
And I didn't watch either live. We'll get to that at 8:02, how I spent my fun evening. John, J-Mo was
out on the town.
We'll get to it, 8:02. Still stewing over it. It's some kind
we're
of
still,
sick.
This is still a stewing Thursday.
It's fall. It's stew weather. I'm stewing.
Stewing.
And I feel like it's
Stewie. It's some, I should call you Stewie.
Sick joke is what it is. Anyway, right. J-Mo,
Stewie.
We talked about him yesterday from like the macro, zoomed out, like policing and the incident and right and wrong. But let's kind of hone in a little more here. The Lions will have to decide at the end of this season whether or not they pick up his 5th-year option. As we sit here today, I'm curious which camp people are in. If they had to decide today, would you pick up that option or would you decline that option? The Lions have the luxury of waiting. And John, you said, your email to us was, it's going to happen.
It's almost a sure thing. And here's why. If you look at the projections for what you would have to pay Jameson Williams, he's going to make about $15 million in that fifth round or that fifth year option.
Yeah, I think it's between 15 and 18, somewhere in there.
Okay, well, to escalate it, you would have to earn a certain amount of playing time.
Yeah.
And I think that ship has sailed because of the injury his rookie season. And it's, you know, 50% or greater over all three seasons, which would trigger it. 75% or greater over all three seasons on average in a game. Like, because of the injury, and maybe this is the genius of Brad Holmes at that time, knowing that that option's not going to be triggered. The only way to trigger it is if he makes the Pro Bowl this year.
And I don't think that's happening.
All right. So he's going to make $15.16 million. As a fifth-year option. And so then you look at, okay, what does the top 30 guys that are playing at the wide receiver position make? If you were to make a comparable of going out there and getting a number two, because I think we all believe J-Mo is the number two.
Yes.
All right. Deontay Johnson. Would you rather have Deontay Johnson or Jameson Williams for the Carolina Panthers?
Well, now Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
But yes. Deontay, I think, is more dependable at this point. I'd rather have Deontay.
But both on the field.
I think you're sleeping on the player that Deontay is. I'd rather have J-Mo than Brandon Cooks.
Okay. So you start looking at this list. Deontay Johnson is the number 30 highest paid wide receiver at 18.4. So you'd already be getting J-Mo. Brandon Cooks, you think he's better than Brandon Cooks?
I don't.
I do
think he's better than Brandon Cooks, yes.
So it's 19 million dollars, almost 20 that you'd be paying for Brandon Cooks. So if you are only paying $15 million, because 15.1 is just much harder to say, $15 million for Jameson Williams that year, and he's on your roster, that in and of itself means to me that, yeah, I think they'll probably pick it up. On the flip side, do you have more value in Jameson Williams going into next year and maybe next year's trade deadline? Not that you want to unload him at that time, or you get into this offseason and say, you know what, J-Mo's not a part of our, you know, future. Do we have more value in picking up that fifth-year option and trading him? Because another team is certainly going to value having the leverage of that fifth-year option versus just an expiring contract in year four. Then maybe for Jameson Williams, instead of a fourth round pick, you get a third round pick. Maybe instead of a third round pick, you get a second round pick. Like, there, you got to maintain your value. Now, part of that is Jameson Williams. And we talk about what has Jameson Williams missed by these suspensions, by the gambling suspension. Now, the injury is not his issue. It's his issue, but it was something out of his control. The gambling issue, that's four games. This one, two games. If there is a future suspension for the gun charges, there's more games. So he will be limited to be capped off at $15 million in fifth-year options. So the value is there. You pick that up so that either you can trade him and another team is paying him a fifth-year option of only $15 million versus I'm going to trade you. You're going to play somewhere else for that fourth year. You're going to hit the free agent market. And somebody is going to pay him more than $15 million. I guarantee you.
248-539-9797. I think it's important to set this up with the understanding, if you say no, you're not picking up his fifth-year option, it would mean he is still on the team this year
and
all of next year, which I do want to see the next 18 months before I commit 15. I know you think 15 is a light number. It'd still be one of the highest-paid players on the team for that season. I'm not willing to make that commitment based on what we've seen so far. So, like, I'm looking at the 2026 roster.
If the salary cap is going to continue to go up, $15 million is not going to be a percentage of that cap that you wouldn't be willing to pay for a wide receiver with the skill set of Jameson Williams.
My point is there's only going to be five or six guys who would make more that season than J-Mo. Is he one of the six or seven best players on this team. Are you willing to say that today? I'm not.
Yeah, but you're talking about a loaded roster.
Right. Well, but that's part of the math here is I want to pay Kirby Joseph. I want to pay Brian Branch. I'm already paying Ali McNeil. Hutch is going to get his deal. What I don't want to do is fork over a pay raise yet based on what I've seen so far. I'm not telling you he's going to get traded or I want him run out of town. I know that's how it's going to sound to people. I want to take this year and all of next year to determine whether I'm comfortable giving him an extension.
My question then is, okay, if it's not Jameson Williams and he's not here for that fifth year option that you're only going to be paying $15 million for.
You say only, I say it's $15 million quite a bit, but that's fine.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm not going to. $1 million is a lot of money.
No, I'm not saying the average Joe. I'm saying by NFL standards, $15 million is a good chunk. It is.
It is not. When you're talking about the grand scheme of things, okay, so here's the question. If you don't pay Jameson Williams the $15 million, who's going to be your number two receiver? Where are you going to go to get that? Are you going to rely on a rookie? Or are you going to go into the free agent market, spend roughly the same amount of money to get less of a talent? I want your answer when we come back.
I didn't realize we were up against it. Yeah. All right, I'm ready to answer it. We'll do it next. 97.1.
Hey, get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book right now. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Let me repeat that one for you. New customers, you're going to get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. And we all know, we just heard it in the two Grand Slam, Houston versus the New York Jets tonight. Try this SGP, the same game parlay. Priest Hall over rushing yards. C.J. Stroud over 1.5 passing touchdowns. And I mean, you can add any receiver that you want. Maybe it's Garrett Wilson. You know, finally he makes some connections with Aaron Rodgers over receiving yards. All you got to do is visit FanDuel.com/chance and make every moment more this NFL season. FanDuel is an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Stan Campbell talking about J-Mo yesterday. Huge topic. You guys had a lot to say yesterday about what happened. We're looking ahead. Fifth year option. If they had to make the decision today, would you pick it up, yes or no? And understand, saying no doesn't mean he's cut, doesn't mean he's traded. It means he'd play this season and all of next season, and you'd still have the option to extend him, assuming he produces and stays on the field, which is the camp I'm in. I'm going to get painted in whatever light you guys choose to paint me in, but I would be of the belief that right now I'm not giving him $15 million guaranteed in his fifth season based on what I've seen so far. There's promise, of course, but it can't be promise. It has to be fulfilled. John, you challenged me with, then what do you do? Well, I've got two seasons, and in that time I can use my great general manager's big drafting brain to replace that in the interim. Right? Is that not allowed? I don't have to go on the open market and pay $20 million for a receiver. I can do what Brad Holmes has consistently proven he wants to do, draft and develop. I don't think you can pay multiple high-level receivers and multiple safeties and multiple pass rushers and multiple defensive linemen. Like, at some point, someone will get squeezed out, and I think I have every right to evaluate J-Mo's maturity before picking up a fifth-year option.
Yeah, well, you still have time to measure that maturity,
yeah.
See how he responds from the suspension and obviously the gun charges. But if you're not paying him as a top level wide receiver, because if you pick up that option, like I mentioned, you're going to have great value in being able to trade him. So, and other teams, he would be a number one.
On certain bad teams,
yes, he would be a number one and could develop into a one for more other teams.
Sure.
So you increase the trade value of what you will get in return. You're not going to get a first in return.
No, and I understand the risk if you don't pick up the fifth year and he balls out, you've lost a year of control.
Well, and not only that, but if you don't pick up that fifth year option after your fourth, no matter if he balls out or not, you're going to have to pay more than $50 million if you want him on the roster. So you're basically saying, It's a longer commitment. This is a one-year commitment for $15 million. There's no chance they don't pick up that fifth-year option for leverage.
I guess it's fine. That's the argument is leverage. My point is I would willingly pay him more than 15 if he had shown me that he had played.
But you already said you can't. You can't pay all of these guys this much money.
My point is I want guys to go out and earn that bag. And we've seen them do that with Sewell. We've seen them do that with St. Brown. Jared Goff was one that we had big debates on the station about. He went out and earned it. I'm consistent on this. Go out and earn the money, and we'll figure it out later. Someone else will get displaced if you outplay one of your teammates. That's football. But right now, I don't think he's outplaying any of the other guys, which is why I feel comfortable making that statement. And that's not to say he's a bad football player. I know it's going to get twisted. The question was just, would you pick it up or not if you had to make the decision today? Clearly, John, if he comes back and he's playing on Sunday night against the Houston Texans,
yeah,
and he catches six balls for 150 yards and two touchdowns, and that ends up setting the tone for the rest of the season, he has a big playoff game. Maybe it's a wild card round or an NFC title game. He was off to a hot start last year in the NFC title game. Then, of course, the reality is the Lions' deadline would be at the end of that season, and then you probably pick up the fifth-year option. But the question is asked today on October 31st,
and so today
where
you're
hasn't done
no.
those things. He hasn't done those things.
You're saying no.
Yes.
And again, I just go to, okay, let's take the other aspect that you mentioned. Brad Holmes is really good at draft picks. Is there other needs? Because Jameson Williams is currently on the roster, you don't have to spend a draft pick on him. You don't have to give him a ridiculous four-year contract that's going to pay him a lot more than just the $15 million. How young are all of these players on the offensive line? How young is Zeitler? How young or fragile is Frank Ragnow? Graham Glasgow?
Taylor Decker,
yep, who gave up a couple of sacks, has given up a couple of sacks in the last couple of weeks.
Your point is you want those picks to use on the offensive line.
Right. I think that they'll be better utilized on the offensive line. I don't think you're going to go out and spend one on a wide receiver in the first round and still get at the end of the first round or the end of the second round. Yes, I know we have Amon-Ra St. Brown. He was a fourth round pick. I understand all of that. And maybe there are more gems that Brad Holmes can find. But the better gamble is doing it on the front end.
Texter says, I am picking up the option, but by no means am I extending him beyond that and dropping a huge deal in his lap when he can't stay on the field, which is a completely different point.
Right. So it buys you an extra year to find out if he is that guy.
Right. This one says, it's funny, John's acting like a rookie couldn't do what J-Mo does. Hey, Johnny, he has 42 career catches. He can be easily replaced.
Okay. Well, then when that time comes, we'll have to make that decision.
In today's NFL, there's no reason to pay two wide receivers. The draft is so deep every single year at that position. You trust your general manager. I can't believe you guys are talking about getting rid of J-Mo.
Let's make sure. There's only one of us talking about getting rid of J-Mo.
And that is
Jim Costa.
I'm talking about having him on the team for two seasons still.
You wanted to get rid of Jared Goff. Look how that's turned out. Show a little foresight.
J-Mo says, this text says, J-Mo's mistakes are minimal. Minimal seriousness, very minor. He's not a bad apple. He's just young. Says he's not beating up a girlfriend or drunk driving. Says, I know you talking heads love these blabbing radio topics, but leave J-Mo alone. He's going to help us win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Let's make sure that we insert Jim Costa. Leave J-Mo alone.
Let him go. More money, mo J-Mo problems, reads a ticket text. This one says, it's a ridiculous question to ask. Of course they're going to pick up the option. The fact that you're pushing this narrative is sad. Real quick, what is my narrative? That I want him to play good football before I would be comfortable giving him a raise?
No, but your question
isn't. That's my narrative. It's crazy. I know. It's radical. It's crazy.
Your question is if we would pick it up now. And I know it's a risk. But if for $15 million, I'll take him as a number two versus just about anybody else in that football season. Because the Super Bowl window is what it is. I don't want to rely on hoping. And I understand Brad Holmes is good at the draft. Love it that he's good at the draft, but I want him to be good at the draft of continuing to build an offensive line. If they don't sign someone, and this is a question that we have going on right now, let's just say they don't sign an edge defender. Where's the best area to pick one up? In the draft.
Of course.
But no, you've got to go out and get yourself a receiver.
You're going to have more than one pick. You have more than one pick. They have more than one draft pick. Like, let's not act like you can't walk and chew gum at the same time. You can. And we've seen Brad do this, address multiple areas in multiple drafts and multiple off seasons. It's not like if J-Mo wasn't here 3 years from now, the empire would crumble. How would they function? They would draft and develop like they always have. And they may give up a pick or two to get a pass rusher, which I would advocate for. That doesn't mean they can't also continue to keep the cupboard stocked. You got a good GM, act like it.
I just think, Jim, I'm not trying to be like mean here, but more like Jansen is, but I'm just kidding. The team has leverage and control.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful thing to have here throughout this entire thing. You have a young dynamic receiver who is not a number one. He's a number two in this league right now. Could he become a one? Maybe. I don't see it happening. I mean, the bigger picture thing here is that J-Mo, and I think a lot of people would agree with this, is that he's probably not getting extended here. He's probably going to be the first,
sure,
first round draft pick that however he leaves town, he leaves town. But the team...
Sounds like you're kicking him out,
Tom. The reason the rookie deal was put in place, the way the rookie contracts changed 10, 12 years ago in the NFL, is it gives the teams way more control. It doesn't financially strap them. The Lions have... That's a pretty cheap option for a number two in year five.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. It's there for you guys if you want to react to it. We got much more to do on the show today, including Dear John at 9:02. Mm-hmm. John, you want some prompts?
I do. I always like my prompts.
An hour from now, your topics are, and trust me on this, okay?
Well, I trust you tremendously.
Your prompts are election night.
Oh, boy.
Political signs.
Oh, no.
And the hall pass.
Oh, boy.
That's at 9:02. We've got the Thursday touchdown at 8:35. We'll get into last
politics
night.
Politics coming up at 9 o'clock.
Trust me, guys. It's not. This is not one of those who are you voting for deals. I promise. It's 97.1.